pray for the word today. Oh, Father, we thank you for bringing us together into this place and enabling us to hear your word. And we just commit ourselves right now to be doers of your word and not just hearers. And we also recognize that there is an enemy of our souls who would want to steal the word away. And we break the power of the enemy to keep us from the fullness of what you have for us today. We break the power, especially of any occult spirits, in the name of Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua. And we thank you that you are mighty, O Lord, and you are above all things. And we agree together today for your word to go forth in power. In Yeshua's awesome name. Amen. Amen. So I've been on a roll here with some stories about husbands. I get to pick on husbands since I am a husband, right? So a little boy and a little girl were at a daycare one day. The girl approached the little boy and said, "Hey, Billy, you want to play house?" And Billy said, "Sure, what do you want me to do?" And the little girl, Sally, replied, "I want you to communicate your feelings." "Communicate my feelings," said Billy. "I have no idea what that means." The little girl nodded and said, "Perfect, you can be the husband." Okay, so we are going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 that we looked at last week. We're not going to look at all the verses there, but we're going to look at just a few of them. And starting in verse 10, "There must not be found among you a fortune teller, soothsayer, omen reader, or sorcerer, or one who casts spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls upon the dead. For whoever does these things," verse 12, "is an abomination to Adonai, the Lord. And because of these abominations, Adonai, your God, is driving them out from before you." So as I spoke about last week, we see this strong prohibition against these particular practices, which we call occult practices. And why? Because they are an attempt to manipulate spiritual, supernatural power without God. Without God, without his direction. And thus, really, it's an attempt by the practitioners of these things to be gods themselves, to have supernatural power. And most of us, as I talked about last week, know well enough to keep away from the obvious occult things. I believe most of you would not be visiting fortune tellers or mediums or going to seances or spellcasters or seek to hear from the dead like at a seance. But there's another side to this. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 15, Rabbi Shaul of Paul says, "Satan's workers masquerade as servants of righteousness." And I believe some people do this knowingly. Try to deceive people through occult practices. But I think many people are deceived themselves. They think they're doing good, but they're participating in things that are directed by the enemy. And some actually accomplish good things through powers other than God. But what happens when people get involved with these occult things, they may experience some help in whatever it is they're struggling with, whatever they went to that person for, but it will always come with a price, and the price is bondage, okay? Now, because of the shortcomings of conventional medicine, many people today look to alternative medicine for help. I found some figures for about 10 years ago. It said that Americans spent $34 billion on alternative medicines in a year. And I know from talking with many of you that you've tried some alternative medicines because conventional medicine hasn't worked. Or you've tried going to the doctor and you got a prescription that had some harmful side effect. Or you may have a loved one who has been suffering from something and they tried alternative medicine. So what I have come to learn over the last couple of weeks especially is that some alternative medical systems and methods have occult roots or our occult practices. So I'm going to go ahead now with part two of what I started last week, and I want to just recommend that if you weren't here last week, you go to the podcast site and listen to part one, because I'm going to be talking about this book once again. It's called The Biblical Guide to Alternative Medicine by Dr. Neil Anderson and Dr. Michael Jacobson. And it compiles extensive research on clinical testing and published papers of people who are writing in the field of alternative medicine or who are from conventional medicine or scientists and are doing clinical tests on certain alternative medical practices. And so this book will enable you to determine whether the method that you have learned about or you've heard about is kosher or it's got some occultness to it. And let me just say a caveat. The purpose in sharing this is not to condemn you if you participated in some of those practices, but to warn you to check out the foundations, because if whatever practice it is masquerading as righteousness, it may seem to help you, but it will eventually bring bondage and destruction. So today I'm going to attempt to give you the second half of the overview of what this book teaches. Again, the first half is on the website under the podcast. And also, just let me point out again that the book is actually out of print. I was able to buy a used copy, so you may be able to buy a used copy. We have 8 of them in the bookstore that are already signed up for. 8 people bought them last week. They came in. But from what we understand, you can't get it anymore. However, you can always get it on Kindle. It's available on Kindle, The Biblical Guide to Alternative Medicine. So just to review a little bit, the authors of this book developed 5 testing areas that make up what they call a grid to examine whatever practice we're looking at. The first question to ask about the first section of the grid is the history. What are the historical roots of a medical philosophy or system or therapy? The second grid section is faith. What are the spiritual concepts underlying that medical system? Are they consistent with the Bible? The third is holistic. Does the system address spirit, soul, and body, or is it just addressing the body? The fourth is scientific. Does the system line up with the laws of nature? And a corollary to that is what scientific research has been done and what does it reveal about that system? And then the fifth part of the grid is spiritual discernment. Is the spiritual realm involved in this medical practice and the belief behind it? And if so, what spirit is involved in it? So before we get into the medical practices that I didn't get to cover last week, I want to just give a review of 2 areas that are very important for anybody who wasn't here last week. The first is to review religious beliefs and worldviews, meaning how do people see the world? How do people see the universe? And the first one we're going to look at in review is the ancient Chinese beliefs. The ancient Chinese believed in a life force that permeates all living beings, and they call it qi. They spell it weird, but they call it qi. If you see it spelled, it's qi. I don't know how you get qi out of that, but that's how you pronounce it, qi. The Hindus call this life energy prana, and the Greeks called it vital energy, and then during the Renaissance, it was called vitalism. These are all human ideas of a supernatural force that's not scientifically detectable, that the Bible calls the spiritual realm. And the place that we want to be on the lookout for is that some alternative medical systems try to manipulate this force to bring healing. So the first step in evaluating a medical system should be to determine if it is a biblically forbidden practice. And for that, I just want to refer you to where we just looked, Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12, and all of that long list, and then Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. And I want to just take a minute here and do a little bit of digging in a little deeper on one particular aspect that is listed there, and that is divination. And I know when I first started looking at this, I really didn't know exactly what divination meant, but divination, as I've seen it defined, and as it's defined in this book, is an attempt to gain knowledge from the spiritual realm by asking the spiritual force or whatever to divulge knowledge through a physical object. So how many of you, when you were kids, got involved with the Ouija boards? Well, that's divination. You're asking this thing to move around and answer, spell out things to you, or say yes or no. How many have ever heard of people using pendulums? Putting a pendulum over a pregnant woman to determine whether she's got to have a boy or a girl. Well, it's asking this physical thing to give you knowledge that is not physically available to people. So it's using these physical objects, and the physical objects can be parts of the body. It can be, say, you know, something in the body also. So that's a little bit of background, but also more background. This book doesn't just reveal issues with alternative medicine, but also explains the problems of conventional Western medicine, what is called allopathic medicine. And last week, I went through evaluating conventional medicine through the whole five-point grid, but for the sake of time today, I'm just going to explain each system, describe its effectiveness, and point out its spiritual danger, if there is some. And you can refer to the book here for further information if there's one that you're interested in. So conventional medicine, everybody should be aware that the medicine here we practice in the whole world, conventional, it's founded on science, mechanistic science. It's not founded on a biblical worldview. Okay? And also, conventional medicine is not usually holistic. That's what the mechanistic science part of it. It looks almost exclusively at the physical realm. It looks for the cause of disease, and it doesn't emphasize the spiritual realm or how to prevent disease, but just how to cure the disease. So typically, conventional medicine treats symptoms, and it works great for many, many situations. It's amazingly advanced. I mean, if you just look, you watch a movie about the Civil War even, and just look at the medical practices that they were going there with the doctor. Basically, his main tool was a hacksaw. You know, it's we have come a long, long way with conventional medicine. It works great for acute crises. When surgical correction is possible, it is awesome for that. It works well when something can replace something that's missing in the body, like for diabetes, replacing the low insulin with insulin just works wonderful for those things. And I'd say, I don't know exactly how long, but in the past, say, 40 years or so, conventional medicine has attempted to become more holistic and treat the body, the soul, and the spirit. But there's a big but. When the spiritual aspect has been addressed by most doctors, it's been dominated by New Age practices rather than biblical concepts. And that creates another avenue for Satan's deceptions. And I'll have to say that's not true of all doctors. My doctor is not like that at all. The other thing about conventional medicine that we need to be aware of is that conventional medicine is now dominated by pharmaceutical companies. And the drug manufacturers are advertising and pushing their products. So the doctors are subject to this, and we need to be aware of that. Now, I mentioned that we need to look at the belief systems here, and the Ayurvedic belief system is what we talked about this life force thing. And it's the foundational beliefs of some of the systems that we'll look at. Ayurveda is the word for the ancient Indian religion, which was a pantheistic religion. Pantheism doesn't mean many gods. It means one God who is everything, in everything. So it doesn't separate God from his creation. The creation is God. You are God. I am God. The chair is God. The book is God. Everything is God. God is everywhere. And there, God is an impersonal God. And there is a life force, which we talked about before. And when medical problems occur, Ayurvedic medicine teaches that it's because the life forces are not balanced. And this system is a belief that's definitely based on things that contradict the Bible. And also, science has shown that there's very little evidence of real healing power in these methods. So that's the review. And now I'd like to move on to a bunch of pathies and ologies that I didn't get to last week. And we'll start out with osteopathy. I really had no idea what osteopathy was until I started to read about it. Osteopathy is practiced by doctors of osteopathy. They are truly medically licensed doctors. It was developed in 1874, and we'll find that many of these systems we're going to look at were developed around that time before the great advances in modern medicine. They were looking for ways to do medicine better than what had been happening up to that time, and some of these things developed. Originally, osteopaths adjusted spinal alignment to correct blood flow problems. Nowadays, osteopaths offer a lot of conventional medical treatment too. And clinical tests have proven that osteopathy definitely helps recovery for people who've had knee surgery, hip surgery. However, it hasn't necessarily been proven to help by adjusting your spine to help other organs in the body, which is what osteopathy says that they're trying to do. And also, there are some doctors of osteopathy who have gotten involved in new age practices. So you need to be careful if you are looking to an osteopath. The second one is chiropractic medicine, which I'm sure many people in this room have partaken of at times. This was developed around the same time, around 1895, and chiropractors also manipulate the spine, but it's not to adjust blood flow or clear the way for blood flow, but to relieve pressure on nerves. So that's where it differs. And in osteopathy, the other difference is that the chiropractors are not medical doctors. They're not licensed medical doctors. They can't prescribe drugs, and they can't do surgery. And in the past, insurance companies have not covered their work, but recently they're starting to do so. Some chiropractors, and this is where discernment is needed today, follow mechanistic science. In other words, we're adjusting this, and it's going to straighten out the nerves here, and that's fine, great. But you will find that there are other chiropractors that believe in the Ayurvedic life force concept, and they see auras around people, and they have other things that are not necessarily verifiable scientifically. Chiropractic therapy has been proven to be effective dealing with neck pain and back pain. And spinal manipulation, though, has not been proven in clinical tests to be a benefit for anything other than what would be called muscular and skeleton problems. In other words, problems with your spine or problems in other parts of the body that are due to misalignment and things like that. So again, it has its effectiveness, but again, a warning, be wary. There is a tendency for chiropractors to get involved in mystical occult approaches, and so just be on the lookout for that. The next one is naturopathic medicine. Again, developed right around the same time in 1900. Naturopaths believe in natural methods of healing, just like what it says. And naturopathy is not based on any religious system, but according to the research, most practitioners follow the Ayurvedic beliefs of life force manipulation. So naturopathic practitioners treat people with vegetarian and whole grain diets, with exercise, with rest, with hygiene, with spinal manipulations. And generally, naturopaths also believe that toxins are the cause of illness. And so they prescribe all kinds of detoxification techniques like foot baths and saunas and fasting and enemas. And some of those things work, and some of them, there really isn't any scientific proof that it actually does anything. Now, occasional fasting is biblical, so there is no problem with that. There isn't anything in the literature that says that occasional fasting helps anybody. And there's warnings in the literature against the danger of enemas. I'm not going to describe what that is, but most people will know that what that is. But there is some danger in doing that. Naturopathy is good in that it promotes good diet, exercise, occasional fasting. But again, the danger to watch out for is that naturopathic practitioners often prescribe Ayurvedic remedies. And the other thing that's interesting comment in the book here, again, from research, patients who choose naturopathy as their primary medical system tend to become consumed with health issues and avoiding toxins and keeping away from this and that. And the opinion of the ones looking at this was that it actually ends up leading to people being in bondage rather than to freedom from disease, because they get so concerned about, oh, I can't go near this, I can't eat this, there's this smell here, I might cause something in me. So it ends up actually being a bondage. The next pathy is homeopathy. And this was very interesting. I might have mentioned it last week that we had an incident with our family where many people think that homeopathy is just natural medicine. It's anything but that. Okay, it was developed by Samuel Hahnemann in around 1800. And here's what homeopathy does. It treats disease with diluted dosages of drugs that are capable of producing in healthy people the same symptoms as that disease. Everybody follow that? So if somebody is, throwing up, they will give them a drug that causes people to throw up, but in a very minute dose. And this is supposed to heal them. And it was purely, a mechanistic thing. But then Hahnemann, the developer of it, began to teach that the dilution process actually releases life force energies. So if you want to dilute something like 1,000 times, rather than just taking one drop of it and putting in 999 drops of a solvent, they would dilute it with 10 drops of a solvent, and then 10 drops again, and then 10 drops again, believing that each of the dilution process actually added some power to it, which totally defies the laws of science and anything we know about chemistry and biology. Some homeopaths tend to use occult practices like pendulums, magnetism, palmistry, all kinds of occult practices. The problem is that many people think homeopathy is just another type of natural medicine, but it is absolutely not, because those drugs that are being diluted, they're drugs. They're not naturally occurring things. They're drugs. And so if you go into a health food store at Wegmans, you will find homeopathic remedies, and it will actually tell you what the drug is and what the dilution is. And many people just think that, oh, this is just another natural thing, no harm to it. But there is no basis for it scientifically. There have been no clinical tests that show it works at all. It's just something that that there's quite a few people out there that are promoting. Okay, Chinese traditional medicine. I'm going to abbreviate it TCM, Chinese traditional medicine. Chinese traditional medicine is rooted in ancient Taoist belief system, and that belief is that Tao is the cosmic force behind nature's order, that there is no personal God, just an impersonal force. So this is kind of drawing a blank, not Star Trek, but Star Wars. The force be with you. There is a force out there. It's supernatural, but it's not personal. Okay? Tao has two faces. I'm sure you've seen this. Yin and Yang. And they oppose each other. And it also teaches that there is no good or evil. There's just harmony and disharmony, balance and imbalance. So Chinese medicine teaches that qi, which is this life force, moves through the body via channels called meridians, okay? And it moves through internal organs like your liver and your kidney and things like that, and then it moves across the surface of the body, and that there are certain points in the body that serve as regulators to control and the qi and balance its flow. So a TCM practitioner diagnoses patients by feeling for pulse in their wrist. And they claim that there are 6 pulses in each wrist. It's a total of 12 pulses. And each of the 12 pulses is associated with a meridian. And each meridian is associated with certain organs in the body. So the diagnostic method is that the practitioner feels for a pulse. And from the pulse, he can determine what is wrong with you. And specifically, he can feel from the pulse like you have a kidney problem, you have a liver problem, or something like that. Now the incredible thing is that very basic anatomy tells us that there's one artery in the wrist, in each wrist. So where they get the 6 pulses from, nobody knows. But this is how they are trained, and this is what they believe, that they actually can feel 6 separate pulses when there's only one artery in the wrist. So That's the diagnosis. And then the flow of qi is then regulated using several different techniques. Acupuncture is the most popular form of TCM today. And that is insertion of needles at the control points to regulate the flow of the qi. Now, studies have shown that acupuncture can be effective for some illnesses. It's been shown to reduce nausea after surgery and chemotherapy and pain after dental procedures. It's helpful for headaches, but there's no valid scientific studies that have affirmed its effectiveness. TCM also uses acupressure, and that is the use of pressure instead of needles. So it's pressing on the points, the control points. And here's one that some of you may have seen. TCM uses something called cupping. Any of you watch the Olympics, especially the swimming competition, and all the swimmers had these bruises, circular bruises all over their body. And then while I was watching it, they actually showed the practitioner doing it. It consists of taking a small glass cup, drawing a vacuum on it, and then putting that cup on the body so that it sucks a vacuum, ends up with a scar, which eventually heals. But the purpose of the cupping is to drain evils from the body and assist in blood circulation. And it got a great big push at the Olympics because all the swimmers were using it, and they were actually showing it. TCM also includes Chinese herbal medicines, which, again, some of those herbs can actually be effective, but the basis for it is they're trying to deal with the qi. They're trying to balance the qi. And then probably the most dangerous practice in TCM is qigong, spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G. Qigong, the part of it that is not harmless, there's two sides to it, it balances qi through breathing exercises. Now, there's nothing wrong with breathing exercises, learning to breathe from your diaphragm, learning to slow down your breathing, to breathe deeply. They're all beneficial because they increase blood flow. It's a good thing. But what has developed is that there are people who have been trained and are claiming to be qigong masters. And qigong masters claim to have built up their own qi, their own life force, so where they can communicate it to others. And so from a remote place, they can bring healing to you. And studies have shown that sometimes this works, but only if the patient believes in it. So you can see what's happening there. It's a form of building someone's faith. But also, there have been studies that show that psychological problems have frequently occurred among people using qigong. In fact, there's a syndrome. It's called the qigong deviation syndrome. People are experiencing lack of memory and disorientation and dizziness, all kinds of things from qigong. So again, Taoism and biblical faith are totally incompatible with one another. Taoism speaks of this yin and yang, balance and imbalance. God is good and evil in Taoism, whereas scripture declares God is good, and it identifies a spiritual world of good and evil spirits. And Taoism claims that man can regain health and immortality, immortality through personal disciplines and the practice of magic and alchemy, and of course through TCM. So there's a big chapter on TCM here. Okay, applied kinesiology, it's called AK. This is defined as the evaluation of muscle weakness and how through reflexes this evaluation can be used to diagnose disease of supposedly related organs. So your arm is held out, the practitioner determines that there's muscle weakness, that means that something's wrong with your liver. Okay? Today, according to this book, about a third of chiropractors actually practice it. It's actually a collection of six techniques from osteopathy, chiropractic medicine, TCM, and its clinical testing has revealed negative results and no positive results for this. Now, here's where I want to talk a little bit about this thing called divination. AKs, or applied kinesiology, its main diagnostic technique is, I believe, divination. Okay? It uses the body as the divination medium instead of an Ouija board or a pendulum. The practitioner monitors muscle strength while asking the patient's body to tell him what's wrong with it. Okay? So you can see what's happening there, that it's the practitioner is seeking supernatural knowledge, divulging a supernatural knowledge through a physical thing, and this is divination. This is as much divination as the casting of bones and trying to predict the future from this, or looking at livers in the Bible. So this is definitely an indication of divination. I just wanted to tell a little story here about this morning. Some of you might have noticed that I got here really late this morning. Well, we actually got here on time. And this whole idea that the supernatural realm, and in this case, evil spirits, can actually cause divination to tell things, to make things happen, can actually manipulate physical things. Okay, that's what divination is, because the diviner, you know, holds the pendulum and asks, is it a boy or is it a girl? And the pendulum swings one way or the other. So the spiritual realm is communicating through that pendulum. Everybody follow that? So this idea that the spiritual realm, that Satan and his cohorts, can somehow manipulate real physical things. Okay, now here's what happened to me this morning. I'm talking about divination, right? Everybody got that? This morning, last night, my phone completely fails. My smartphone just completely dies. Okay? This morning, we get here, and I go upstairs to print, and the router dies. And so I go into the office where the computer is right next to the printer and try to print from that printer, but evidently that needs the wireless router also, and I can't print. So that's why I was 10 minutes late. In addition to that, Diane and I drive out of the driveway. We have two vehicles, and we're driving out, and we look at where the vehicle we're in just was, and there's a big puddle there. So we pulled it back in and took the other vehicle. And I don't know if you're seeing this, but all of this because I'm talking about divination, right? Well, not because of, but you see the connection. I'm talking about divination, and all of these things are happening. So by the time I got down here at about 10 after 10, Diane had to pray for me because I was a basket case with this stuff. But I had to call upon the name of the Lord in order to deal with this, because every one of those things, you know, I couldn't fight physically. I had to pray finally and got the printer working. I don't know what's going to happen with my phone, but God knows. So you see what I'm saying? There's coincidences there that all those things would happen when I'm going to talk about the enemy manipulating physical things. And I experienced three physical things failing on the day that I'm going to talk about the enemy manipulating physical things. Interesting. Okay. Diet and nutrition. Until recently, these were pretty much ignored by conventional medicine. We have to understand that diet is not the only cause of disease, but sound nutrition is of a tremendous value to health. Many studies show the importance of a good dietary lifestyle in reducing the risk of most common diseases. However, some are promoting diets that are based on Ayurvedic principles. That's what a macrobiotic diet is. And there's some that promote diets based on blood type and body type. None of those have been verified scientifically. Or some of the diet nutrition specialists deal with this build of toxins to cause disease. And the thing is, you go on the internet now and you start searching, you will find literally thousands of people selling this and selling that. So you have to be really careful about all of these diet claims. And then drugs, herbs, and supplements. We all need to understand that many pharmaceuticals or drugs are derived from natural substances, herbs, okay? Herbs are natural and are generally safer. Herbs are usually also less toxic than pharmaceuticals, and they're obviously much cheaper than many pharmaceuticals. But herbs are also less tested and less proven. The manufacturers have poorer quality control on them. So the dangers of drugs, we all know, are addictions and side effects, and especially some drugs are mind-altering. A lot of those are prescribed now for, you know, people with psychological or emotional problems. And that can get people off into dangerous spiritual places. Also, don't mistake homeopathic remedies for herbs. They're drugs. They're not herbs. Supplements are been shown to be very valuable. Vitamins are an example of the importance of them. But again, there's lots of false claims out there to be worried, to be wary of. And very important, don't think supplements can replace a good diet. I'm going to eat junk food and take a lot of vitamins. Doesn't work. Got to have a good diet. Now, I want to give something out here. If I could ask a couple of people to help me with this, and you just raise your hand if you want, a couple of people want to hand this out. In this book, there is a list, which is given on this page, of, as it is put here, herbs and supplements that have some degree of research supporting their use, and they're listed by disease. So there's, I don't know, about 30 different diseases. Just raise your hand if you want one. I made enough for most people. I didn't think everybody would want one, but we can make more copies later, assuming the copier works. And if, for instance, Pastor Ruben a couple of weeks ago was talking about fibromyalgia, and fibromyalgia is listed in there, and two herbs that have been shown to be effective for it are listed, willow bark and honeybee venom. So that's the kind of things that are listed there. I'm not necessarily recommending that you go this route first, but I have gained quite a bit of trust in this book from reading it, and this is what they recommend. Okay, last subject. Last subject is what we call mind-body medicine. Actually sounds occult, but it's not at all. Mind-body medicine is basically the holistic concept that our minds and our bodies are connected. At least mine is. Anybody here not have their mind connected to their body? There's a lot connecting them, right? And the understanding that stress causes many physical problems, many physical illnesses or syndromes. What we understand, and some of you went through with me Dr. Carolyn Leaf's presentations a few years ago, which we ran them out of them all. Okay, we will make some more copies and give them out next week. If you really need one this week, maybe we can make some more copies right now. Elizabeth, could you make some more copies? Maybe after the service. See Elizabeth. Can you do that? No, after the service. Okay. So what we learned from Dr. Leaf was that a stressed mind stimulates our adrenal glands. And our adrenal glands secrete low levels of adrenaline. That's what adrenal glands do, and something called cortisol. Now, those two substances are needed for what's called a fight or flight situation. When we're in a dangerous situation, our mind sees the danger, and our adrenal glands secrete adrenaline, and we get a boost of energy and power so we can run away or fight. But if low levels of this are being secreted for extended periods of time, they have a very harmful effect on many organs of the body. And so stress reduction is desperately needed in our culture because how many people have heard just this week, at least three people say, I'm stressed out. Everybody's always saying they're stressed out. Now, it's desperately needed, but there are biblical ways of reducing stress and there are occult ways of reducing stress. The occult ways involve transcendental meditation, other yoga meditations, hypnosis, psychic practices, and sometimes what's called guided imagery. The warning signs of occult methods, which have the potential of spiritual bondage, are that if they encourage the person who's receiving the treatment to empty the mind, let the mind go blank, to get in touch with one's inner self and subconscious, to reach a higher level of consciousness. These are all unbiblical means of, and occult means of meditation, because it opens us up, as I talked about what yoga does last week, it opens us up to the spirit world without the protection of the Lord. There are biblical ways of stress reduction that will lead to healing. So we're going to just read through something that's probably very familiar to many of you. But this is really what Yeshua said. Did you know Yeshua talked about stress reduction? Look at this, Matthew chapter 6. No one can be slave to two masters, for he will either hate the first and love the second, or scorn the second and be loyal to the first. You can't be a slave to both God and money. Being a slave to money or things, that is greed, causes stress. I want this. I got to have this. Stress. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, I want to point out, because I think people often miss this. This is a command. In grammar, we call this the imperative type of a statement. I tell you, don't worry. And so Yeshua is saying, I command you, don't worry. And what he's saying don't worry about is our basic human needs. Now, the word there in the Greek is it's a type of fear, worry. It's the Greek word merimnate. Merimnate. And I'm pointing that out because a little bit later we'll see it appear again. Verse 26, look at the birds flying about. They neither plant nor harvest, nor do they gather food into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they are? How many can say yes? I'm worth more. Verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? Anybody? No. Verse 28. And why be anxious about clothing? Think about the fields of wild irises and how they grow. They neither work nor spin thread. Verse 29. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, Shlomo, in all his glory, was clothed as beautifully as one of these. Verse 30, if this is how God clothes grass in the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown in an oven, won't he much more clothe you? What little trust you have. And so here, Yeshua gives the remedy for stress. Do you see it? Trust. Trusting in God is Yeshua's remedy for the stress of getting our needs met. Verse 31, so don't be anxious, asking what will we eat, what will we drink, or how will we be clothed. And I just want to point out here that the translators translated it anxious, but it's the exact same Greek word as was translated worry. So there's no difference here. He's commanding us again, do not worry. Verse 32, for it is the pagans who set their hearts on all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. So how are we to overcome worry and fear, stress? Trust God to provide. Trust God to care for you. Verse 33, this is kind of the caveat or the condition for God to take care of you. But seek first the kingdom, his kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. In other words, all your needs will be met when? When you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And what does that mean? What does that mean? It means you're committed to serving him, obeying his word, glorifying him, seeking his kingdom within and without. In other words, that he would be the king in your domain, in your life, okay? And also that he would be the king in the lives of the people around you. In other words, spreading the good news and his righteousness. And we'll talk about how you can receive his righteousness, because it's not something that you can do on your own. His righteousness only comes through the sacrifice and the shed blood of Yeshua. Finally, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough tsuris, that's a Yiddish word for troubles, already. The third time in this passage, Yeshua commands us to do what? Don't worry. Don't worry. So, what's the best way to stay healthy or be healed if there's something that you're struggling with before pursuing conventional medicine or alternative medicine? First, be born from above. Now, if you're not sure you're born again from above, seek out how right now, but as soon as the service is over, you can come up to the prayer team and they can tell you how to be born from above. Second, pray first as a first resort when an illness or an injury occurs, not as a last resort. Okay? Often people only pray until they've exhausted all the medical attempts. I try to pray that God will heal or that I'll use that right away. And then if medical attention is needed, that God will use that medical treatment to bless that person, that they will work and they'll recover. James chapter 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God. Moreover, take a stand against the adversary, and he will flee from you. So the third step is submit your body to God as a living sacrifice. Get prayer from others. Get prayer from the elders. Get anointed with oil. Fourth, live a balanced life of rest, exercise, and diet. Fifth, don't compromise your beliefs to find a cure. In other words, don't get involved in something occult because it promises a cure to what you're struggling with. Sixth, seek godly counsel from Scripture and other believers. And seventh, deal with worry and anxiety and fear. Now, we've seen from God's commands that we're to trust Him and fear not. He speaks this dozens of times in the Bible. So how do we deal with this worry and anxiety and fear? First, we have to repent if we have disobeyed Him. Now, let me also say that other attitudes, which we would call iniquity, other attitudes bring stress. For instance, bitterness. Does bitterness stress you out? Yes. Does unforgiveness stress you out? Yes. Does resentment and hatred stress you out? Sure. Rejection causes stress. Self-hatred causes stress. Judging others, envying or being jealous, greed, lust, all cause stress. Past or ongoing abuse can cause stress. All these things can cause health issues. So step seven involves asking the Holy Spirit to reveal any spiritual roots that are growing in you that are affecting your health. And before we end, I want to explain a tool that we have access to that will help you find possible spiritual roots. Pull out those roots by resolving personal and interpersonal and spiritual conflicts through repentance. In other words, if you're having a conflict with another person, resolve it through forgiveness and apology, restitution if necessary. If there's something that you're having a conflict with God about, I don't want to do what you're saying, God, resolve that. If there's something in yourself that you know is a conflict, like, I just hate the way you made me, God. I hate myself. Resolve that. You are made the way God desired to made you. So we need to resolve those conflicts, renounce those things, remove any ungodly spirits that have gained power over you by the power of Yeshua's name. Now, some of you have been with us for a while. We recognize these principles are the same principles that I've been teaching here since Diane was healed. How many years ago is it now? About 4 or 5 years ago. Through dealing with spiritual roots. It's also the same principles that Tom Bergo teaches in Freedom in Messiah ministry. These are the principles that I personally learned through the ministry of Be in Health, which was how Diane was healed. And that understanding is that there are spiritual roots to many chronic illnesses. And just want to end up here by reading you something from this book, because this was just amazing when I came to this. In the section on mind-body medicine, there is an example in here. A pastor's wife was diagnosed with serious breast cancer. It had already spread throughout her body. She was given just a few months to live. And I'm just going to read from it here as what's quoted. In response to her diagnosis, she and her husband sought the counsel of a Georgia pastor whose ministry orientation is in identifying the spiritual factors in the cause of disease. In counseling with this pastor, the woman became aware of the possibility that her bitterness toward another woman had weakened her immune system and could be making her more vulnerable to cancer. She sought that other woman's forgiveness and reconciled with her. Her cancer spontaneously regressed without her changing her diet, surgery, or any medication. Now, so some of you who have been involved in some of the studies that we've done, who does that pastor sound like? Yeah, it was undoubtedly Henry Wright, whose ministry is in Georgia, and what I was talking about is called Be in Health. So that's what we've been teaching here for many years now, is that before you go to the doctor, before you take the medication, before you look into alternative medical systems, ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there are some spiritual causes, because you know what? They're free to get rid of. It doesn't cost anything to get rid of. There's no side effects to getting rid of them. And we can help you get rid of those things. Now, how? Well, I periodically talk about this, but I think many of you aren't aware of this, that there's a tool that we have. We have access to something called the Spiritual Roots Directory. and it's on the Bee and Health website. And it's where the research department of Bee and Health, they have a whole research department that has recorded over the years people who have been healed, what spirits they dealt with to bring about that healing. So they have associated particular spirits with particular illnesses. So if you have been diagnosed with some medical condition and you want to know what this research has found out about what the spiritual roots are, all you have to do is come and talk with me. I'll simply get online, look it up, and let you know what those roots are. Now, that's not a guarantee that that's going to be the solution, but it's sure a good place to start these things. And what are the spiritual roots? It's that list of things I just read. Rejection, bitterness, envy, lust, greed, fear, all of those things are the spiritual roots that we're talking about, past abuse or ongoing abuse, some of those things. In addition, there's a forum on that website. So if your particular medical condition is not listed in the directory, I can put a note in the forum and say, do you know anything about this? Have you ever had somebody come with this, and have they been healed through prayer? And we can deal with that. So I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to cover, and if you want to learn about these things, you can get a copy of this book. Like I say, through Kindle is really the only way or used right now. Iridology, that's looking at the iris of the eye and diagnosing through it. Reflexology, chelation, magnets, touch therapy. Just don't have time to cover all of those, but there's chapters on those in this book giving these kind of explanations. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the Lord who heals us. Your word tells us that you said to our forefathers you would not allow any of the diseases on them that were upon the Egyptians. And when you came and walked this earth as Messiah, a significant part of your ministry was healing and delivering people from physical things, healing them and delivering them from spirits that cause physical ailments. And so we thank you, Father, that we have this book that speaks of your healing power. And so we want to just take a minute now and deal with any involvement in the occult, any of the things that we've mentioned here. So, Father, I just pray that your Spirit would show each of us who are hearing this, if we have dabbled, if we've been involved in any occult area, when we're seeking healing for ourselves or for someone else that we didn't know was occult but turned out to have occult foundation and occult practices. We take responsibility for that involvement, even if it was done in ignorance, and we repent of it. We repent of any involvement in divination or yoga or other New Age practices, of pendulums and auras. We repent of these things. We ask for your forgiveness. And we thank you, Father, that you forgive us, because we ask in the name of Yeshua and count his sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sin. We renounce these practices, Ayurveda philosophy of Taoism and Hinduism, yoga, divination, New Age practices. We renounce all of these occult practices. And in the name of Yeshua, we break the power of any spirits, especially as I experienced today, spirit of divination. We just break the power of any spirits of divination over us right now in the name of Yeshua. Any other New Age spirits, we break your power in the name of Yeshua. And we ask you, Father, to refill us with your Spirit and give us the ability to resist any of these spirits, spirits of self-hatred, spirits of rejection, spirits of unforgiveness. We repent of those things. We stand against those spirits and command them to leave. We thank you, Father, that you are the one that renews our mind through the washing of water of your word. And we commit ourselves to getting our minds washed, O Lord, by being in your word. And so we commit all these things to you in the mighty, awesome name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen.